Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Ms. Barbara, can you hear me? And Alex?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Okay, Ms. Barbara, we hadn't done this in a long time, so as always, I'm going to let you start us with introduction and a prayer, if you don't mind. And just tell everybody we're back on. Okay, you know, you always start us with some good thoughts. Alex, we used to do this many years ago. We did it for a long time. And so it's called City on the Hill Radio Show. But I think we're fixing to start. We may be on already. Did y'all hear a sound? It may be already on. Ms. Barbara, Ms. Betty is joining us. So, okay, I'll go ahead and apologize to the listeners. Thank you for joining in, but we're going to start our City on a Hill radio show. As I said, we've done this many years ago. So, but we're going to get back started because these are the times we live in. We have to share important knowledge. So I'm going to let Ms. Barbara take over, and thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Okay, well, welcome everybody to City on a Hill radio podcast, and we're so grateful to be with you tonight, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, O God, to you that we still have the freedom to speak and gather together, Father, and to hold the truth up, Lord, that the truth might prevail. Father, we thank you for the things that you have taught us, the things we've learned from you, Lord, and going back and researching, Lord. We thank you that your word tells us that we're to love you not only with our hearts and all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, but with our minds. You told us to do that, Father, and we desire to. We desire to learn more and to be able to share it. And we pray, O God, that we will all come to a love of the truth that will not be easily deceived. We thank you, Father, for what you're revealing to us. And we pray, Father, that as we talk tonight together, as we discuss these very important matters, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us into more truth, Lord, that we'll be able to be of help, Father, in what you want to have done. And we bless you and praise you. We love you, O God. We pray in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are so grateful for having had the opportunity in the years past, Ms. Barbara, as you said, to learn. We had done this for almost a decade and had stopped, but we're going to have to restart again. So this is our first one. I think we had one maybe in 2019. And as a matter of fact, this podcast has some of our old podcasts, and some of them includes Joan Landis, who is a mental health expert. And we've also had Sandra Stotsky and Jim Milgram. So, Ms. Betty, you introduced us to them, and I think some of those podcasts are still on this thread of City on the Hill. So I'm going to try to put that back up. But we want to catch everybody up on what's going on because now more parents know. And their families have been harmed, and they want something done. And as my husband has always said, it's going to take a whole lot more people to know to make a difference. And I think we're at that point. So we're hoping things will change. But I'm going to go ahead and start, if I may, Ms. Betty. We've got Ms. Barbara here, and we've got Alex Balcom, candidate for Alabama State School Board. And we're so grateful he's on. But I'm going to let you, if you don't mind, Ms. Betty, just set the stage for those that do not know how we got here. If you'll briefly explain to them about the race to the top and how that started, where you pretty much woke Ms. Barbara and me and told us something was very wrong. You were being asked to sign something that was not even printed. So if you don't mind starting with that, we'll give you about a few minutes on that, and then we'll get on with other things.
When I came on the state school board in January 2003,
I happened to meet and not agree with two professors in math education at Auburn University. And what they were pushing then had some SEL in it. And they were pushing what we used to call rainforest Mars of math, fuzzy math, constructivist math, everything but traditional math. Around in 2009, Stephanie Bell and I would discuss what had gone on. She's a board member. She's still up there in Montgomery. And we realized that something similar maybe to Goals 2000 was about to be put back on scene, only this time it was worse. And there were four parts to it. And for a state to get race to the top money, they had to comply with all four parts. So it meant we would have to join up with having databases to collect all sorts of data and interconnect with all across America and with the, Washington, D.C., and we'd have to have the Common Core State Standards and the steps that went with them, and we would have to have charter schools. That was one part of it, and is that four? I can't remember, but anyway. That was two.
Well, let me go ahead and ask this, Ms. Betty. I'm sorry, Ms. Betty, let me stop you for just a second. Ms. Barbara, would you mind muting?
Yes.
I think you might be doing muting yourself just when you're not talking. You can still hear.
Okay.
I'm not going to put you in the other. Just mute yourself a little bit because we're hearing some things in the background. And I know you got to do them. So. But just jump in and unmute yourself whenever you've got something to say, okay? Okay, she's done that. So, Ms. Betty, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So there was a good bit of money, and but Stephanie Bell and I did not go along with this. And when 2010 was about to end, the governor, Bob Riley's his last meeting, and that was in November, and his last hurrah was signing that and getting it approved. But they did not get Stephanie Bell's approval or mine. But it didn't matter. It started going into place. And the Common Core State Standards was a total initiative. The nickname or the abbreviation was CCSSI. And both President Obama and his Secretary of Education about that time both said this is a total transformation of education. And what he meant, I think, was we were going to all that was left of traditional teaching of math and reading, literature, history, all that kind of stuff, and go into this what we are now calling social-emotional learning. That has always been in there. But it wasn't as obvious. And now what is going on with this bill that right now I think it's still called Senate Bill 171, but over 20 times, at least 20 times in that bill, that they mention social-emotional learning. And social-emotional learning doesn't work with traditional teaching, but it does, however, go along with Common Core. And when they were coming up with Common Core, that was already, in fact, the two saw and sorted that to me in 2003, they were talking about gender and racial bias in math. And I wondered, how could you come up with that? I mean, numbers are numbers. 25 is 25. 50 is 50. 25 is 50. It's always going to be the same thing. But this is branched out now, and it has enveloped in the social-emotional learning. All these things you're beginning to hear about, like in Virginia and other states, where and we've heard some about it up in, I think it's Mountain Brook and one or two other school systems up there. where they're putting in all these called radical cultural Marxist kind of thinking. And I don't see why anybody wants to subject our children to that. It's antithetical to the basis of what America was built on. It's cultural Marxism.
Well, Miss Betty, I think I'll let we'll let Mr. Alex Balcom introduce himself and speak, because I think that rings with him, what you just said, and
okay.
Then we'll talk more about the history and what's going on with the bill. So, Mr. Alex, if you don't mind, introduce yourself and just give us your thoughts on what she's already said.
Yes, ma'am. I go back a long way with Miss Betty and several of the others there 10, 12 years ago when we were part of the leadership in the state and would host a lot of the meetings for the conservative groups that would come down with their leadership. We would sometimes host the more conservative representatives and senators in these meetings, and we would let them know what our concerns were. We would come out of these meetings with 5 to 8 initiatives that we wanted to hit the ground running each year when the representatives and our senators would have opening day down in Montgomery, and we would start and continue to work with those. To give you an idea, you may remember 10, 12 years ago, you'd go in to vote and you'd have some referendums to approve, and you would look at them and you would say, well, what does this actually mean? What am I voting to do? Is this going to make it so, or is it going to make it go away? You never knew. And it took us 3 years in a row to finally get them to put some better verbiage into the bill we were going to vote on so that it explained it. They haven't done a great job, but it is a little bit clearer. So when you go out of the voting booth there, you say, okay, I think I did the right thing by voting this thing away or voting for it. And those are just some of the things that we have done over the last years. And this format that we have here, I guess, is an update of the old sitting around the tables with our feet, knocking knees and feet under the table. We can do these from the comforts of our homes or business or wherever we are when the meeting starts. So I really appreciate that. I wanted to bring my conservative views to this position, District 2 with the State School Board, and if we can make enough inroads with our parents and teachers as they've done in Florida and especially Virginia, then I think we can be a model once again like we were with our school initiatives back in 2011, 2012, when we were being talked about around the country for how we were achieving great graduation numbers and achievements in the classroom itself.
Thank you, Mr. Alex. And I'm reminded of that George Hall Elementary School that won the Dispelling the Myth Award in 2009 in Mobile, and it was a majority black school. The children were excelling, and they had a wonderful principal who got really good teachers, and they were teaching traditional and really expecting the children to do their best. And they were used as an example for Arne Duncan's Common Core, and he talked about that that school across the country. And it was a bait and switch. When Common Core came in, they dropped just like the rest of the state, and they're now 600th out of 686 schools. Elementary schools in the state, and you can look them up on schooldigger.com and look at their history, and it parallels the state's history. Very, very shocking in how ironic that this Common Core that's supposed to help, shorten the gap, narrow the gap, has really just laid the black community out there. You know, they cannot add, most of the children cannot read, write. So it has really destroyed our ed system. And I think why Alabama is so bad, it's in the bottom. Personally, I think it's because we believe in absolutes. You know, our kids go to church. They believe in an absolute God. They are taught truth. But yet this system is really about 2 + 2. It can be whatever you want it to be, whatever you can explain. So it's really not about truth. It's a very anti-absolute system of education. So I think that's why Alabama is floundering. Not that we're dumb, but really we've tried to raise our children to be for truth, and it's very hard for their minds. But Ms. Betty, now here we are, 2022, and you've been fighting for this, and you had James Milgram and Sandra Stotsky introduced to a lot of people because they were standing up. They were on the Common Core board and decided they are not going to sign on to this Common Core lie. And they did not, and they spoke everywhere and warned us about what's going on, what we're seeing today. But now, you know, it's been hard fighting because we are fighting big money. They want to push this, and they're really trying to make it out as it's to help the state with businesses. So can you speak a little bit on that side of it? It's being shown to help businesses because they put kids on a track. Can you speak a little bit on that?
Well, it certainly has not helped bring employees coming out of our schools. They do well on dealing with computer stuff, but they don't know what they need to know. And with this social emotional learning, it turns everything into some type of racial deal or dividing by genders, or in some of the crazy things they're doing, they're trying to divide children with blue eyes from children with brown eyes, or children, you know, who are poor and not poor. That there are simulations and things going on. Even at Auburn, I got a complaint from a mother of a student who was having to role play being in pharmacies and dealing with poor people or not. And I mean, it love your neighbors yourself, be kind to others. We don't need to make everything between, you know, salaries of parents or color of skin or whether you're straight or not.
Well, you're right, Ms. Betty, and I guess
this is what my daddy, who is a very educated man, he would have said, Betty, that's brainwashing. That's what the North Koreans did to our boys during the Korean War. That's what they did to the Jews during the, you know, when the Nazis were out. I mean, this is not education. It's indoctrination.
Well, Ms. Bay, let's bring in Ms. Barbara. Ms. Barbara, can you come back on? I want to bring you back on because
I'm a history teacher.
And you exposed, you and Ms. Betty wrote an article, and it's on 1819 News, and I'll try to put a link in here for that because everybody needs to read what you all have shared in your articles. I think y'all have done 2 articles now, and it has been fantastic. I think it's opened eyes of a lot of parents. But Ms. Barbara, what you discovered is really pivotal in the fight for not just Alabama, Ms. Barbara. I think it's pivotal for the fight for this nation because the enemy is made, I mean, the emperor has no clothes. We can see the truth now with what you have exposed. So if you don't mind, talk about that.
Well, I think we've been raising the curtain, you know, of raising that curtain so we can see what, and I'm just calling the enemy because they are. It's the enemy of our children, the enemy of everything that's good in our country. But raising the curtain on that, you remember the story in the Bible about Gideon and the 300, and a couple of the Israelites went down to listen to the enemy camp. And and find out what they were doing. Well, that's kind of what we came upon, and that is the National Association of School Psychologists, of which Alabama is a part under the Alabama Association of School Psychologists. They are affiliated with the national group. And the national group has both have a website, but the National Association is the largest association of school psychologists. And it's very, very powerful. And on their website, they talk about all of this. You know, they talk about that they are to be a force for social justice, and that they are to train the children in activism for social justice, you know, and all the other things that go along with it, the transgenderism, the gender questioning, equity, and all of that. It's totally a woke organization, and it is, the foundation of it is social emotional learning. It's like the social emotional learning is the vehicle for incorporating all of these other isms, you know, and transmitting them. So we found that, and also found that an Alabama senator, Smitherman, who introduced Senate Bill 40, he had met with the Alabama Association of School Psychologists back in March of 21. And less than a year later, he's introducing a bill into our Alabama Senate and with putting all this into place. And where our students would be experiencing all of this to a greater degree than they are now, and they are being exposed to it and experiencing it now. And let me back up go to a side for just a minute. On Dr. Duke Pesta's website, he has shown where a group, a school in Texas, they were doing an experiment, and they segregated the dark-haired people from the light-haired people, and they were all told that the light-haired people were less intelligent, and that in this experiment, in this test, they actually took out some parts of the program so that the light-haired people could not adequately do it because they didn't have all the pieces of the puzzle and that were withheld from them. So anyway, the children were so traumatized, and this went on and on and on, and this is being done now. Can you imagine what's going to, if they get their way? It's kind of like our schools have been taken over, you know, and where you have all these divisive practices, and you know, it's going into the teacher training, and it's devilish, it's wrong, and we've got to stop it. We've got to stop it.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I'm so glad that you found that website. It is really, I looked at it, I think everybody needs to go to their website and experience what you experienced. You know, it's really shocking because it's not hidden. It's not hidden. And last night I listened to local Alabama presentation on SEL. Mike Parsons was on, and a couple of parents from the Birmingham area with their experience. And it was really good because, the parents were heard, their testimonies were shared, and I'm so proud of those men that spoke up. You know, they're fighters. It reminds me of our, and I think they were, Mike is military, former military, and so was one of them. I don't know if the third one was, but it just reminded me of how, you know, these military, you know, they keep fighting even after, you know, leaving the war, right? because there is a war at home.
Right.
And they know that their friends, they don't want them to have died for nothing by letting America go the wrong way. So I was so proud to hear, and what they shared, everybody needs to hear that. So I'm also going to share that link because everybody needs to hear that, those what was said. But when you go to the website of NASP, NASPonline.org, NASPonline.org, that's where you will, if you will do it from your desktop, you'll be able to go and find some of the things that Ms. Barbara was talking about. There's under, I think you clicked on resources and publications. It's on their navigation bar. And you click on diversity and social justice, and there you see the title, social justice, cultural competence, LGBTQ youth disproportionality. But those are things,
Diana,
that when we hear social justice. Oh, go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Well, I just wanted to add one thing. This is the place. They have the resources for all the states. This is the national, this is the top tier, and they are the ones who are going to be supplying the state associations. Our lesson plans, this bill that Senator Smitherman introduced into the Senate and Ledbetter in the House, and Bill 171, Bill House Bill 123, all of this is where the resources will come from to implement the classroom lesson plans. They're the top, and they are going to be consulted. They're going to be used. And, I plead with everyone to go to that website, as you said, click diversity and justice, and just see what they have that they're going to be giving to our children.
And I am reading, there's a communique from them that is there where they send out information to everybody. It says MTSS and the Keys to Success. And it says here pretty much that the MTSS is their baby. This is the baby of the National Association of School Psychologists, because it says the blueprint and model for comprehensive integrated school psychological services, and it got in parentheses, National Association of School Psychologists 2010 called school psychologists to act as leaders in the provision of academic instructional support and intervention and social emotional and behavioral prevention and intervention services using the multi-tier systems of support. And I just happened to Google MTSS. And if you Google MTSS by state, Ms. Barbara, you're going to see it, right? And then you can start looking, and it starts building your mind and thinking, wow, is this how they're turning kids into Antifa? I mean, there's got to be a certain percentage of kids that are going to be swayed to be like that. And guess what? I also Googled MTSS Alabama. Birmingham came up. Dothan came up. We're going to have to do some work in looking. I'll send y'all what I saw today. But I think Mr. Alex, you know, you're campaigning out there and you get to see a lot of these people. I think there's got to be a conversation with maybe some of these people that are running for y'all to sit down together, because, you know, this was something that Tommy Bice had talked about in 2013, and there's an article where he was already saying he's already putting it in, and he was talking about the big cities, the Birmingham. But there's no telling where all he's got it in, but kind of like from the presentation last night from the Birmingham folks, it's in Birmingham, and this just verifies it. So I think there is needing to be a conversation, because if they want our votes, I think this has got to be one of the main things they're going to have to deal with, because they're trying to change Alabama from a conservative state into their kind of state. I mean, they're trying to raise the children, an army of their children is what it sounds like, and they're doing it in our schools. So it's sad, and one of the things that I'm sad about with SB 171, Ms. Barbara, is that they're going to be screening. Mental health is going to be coming in there. They're going to comply. They're going to use data. So it's very overwhelming. But Mr. Alex, I'm going to let you come in and speak about what was just said. And I think it makes the school board very important, to the point that if they don't get their act right, they might as well not even be there, because that's pretty much the way things has been. But go ahead, Mr. Alex.
Yeah. When I go around, and there's several campaigners, and this is a season for folks to be out and trying to get their messages heard. Probably 9 out of every 10 politicians that gets up is going to talk about changing education. A couple of you have heard some of my thoughts going forward, and one of the things that Miss Betty started on was the fact that there's so much money being thrown at this situation. As you know, the state of Alabama is extremely red when you look at the two voting parties that we have a choice among. Well, with that said, that means that there's no Democrat, there's no independent, there's no one that can come out there and swap whatever our party is wanting to pass. For 10 years, we have been saying we don't like Common Core. We need to get rid of it. And those Common Core initiatives have only grown into other spikes or arms reaching out to encompass more and more of the socialist and communist manifesto that was started back in the 30s. They've actually almost achieved that. So what we've got to do is hold these folks. We've got to get a large enough team, and I've suggested that we have a parent and teacher united group, just like we did back in 10, 12 years ago with the conservative coalition, getting all of the different conservative groups together. But we get these folks together, and they actually draw up a paper for their representative and senator to sign that says, I will not support any of this gobbledygook that we're trying to fight. When you leave in the evening, if you're a school teacher and you put this stuff out to your class all day, you know it's wrong, you go home, and you say, well, what can I do? I'm only me. We've got to allow them to have a voice by giving them a platform that they and their and the parents of their students can get together and hold these people's feet to the fire.
Oh, yes. Thank you for that, Mr. F. And Ms. Betty, we heard, I think you listened to the local Alabama, you know, meeting last night. And one of the things that you heard that I heard was there was one example, it might have been Mike Parsons that said it, where, you know, some of these teachers do not know what's going on. They don't realize all the brainwashing that's going on. There's one that told, I think, Mike that her students were told to go in a room for 30 minutes, and she was to leave them alone. So she could not hear, but a counselor or a psychologist was in there. So can you just imagine, and, you know, Joan Landis is our friend, and Joan has always said, you know, when you cannot expect these children to tell you everything that was said to them in the schools. So there's a lot of things these children are not going to be able to tell you. Some of them, they're maybe too embarrassed to tell you. But I think now we do have we have a few starting to speak up, and that's what I heard last night. That was wonderful to hear that. But your thoughts on that, Ms. Betty, on the fact that really the teachers have been compartmentalized, and they do this part of the assembly line, so they really didn't see the whole thing. And plus there was a bill that says you cannot, you know, I think it's a governance bill that was passed, so they're easily fired. So really, things have been hard on the teachers, too.
Yes, one thing that I hope anybody that listens to this conversation we're having realizes that it doesn't matter what they call Common Core state standards. That you could call them, as Barbara Moore and I wrote, grandma's apple pie standards. But if you didn't change what they require, you still got the same thing. And I am sick and tired of these legislators and local superintendents and state superintendents. We don't have Common Core. Some of the representatives, at least one running for Congress, argued with Barbara Moore and me at a Republican meeting and said, we don't have Common Core anymore. And we said they've changed it to college and career ready standards. The same thing. Oh, no, it's not. Well, it is. It's essentially the same style of teaching. And if you listen to the radio or watching news on TV, you see occasionally, especially if you're more listening to the conservative talk radio or some of the conservative people on TV, you will hear them bringing up the teaching of critical race. That is being done. I don't care if they say it's not, it is. And when you start reading all the social emotional learning, it's all woven in there together. There are many aspects of it. You cannot believe the legislators. I don't think they want to know about it. So they pretend like we don't have it. They don't want to have to say we have it. They don't realize that there are synonyms, you know, something that doesn't sound exactly the same, but it's still the same thing. And we've got that, and we're not blocking it. We're cementing it in with Senator Smitherman's bill and some of these other things. And we've got Republicans who are not standing up. And we can't expect the Democrats to do it. We're not even doing it our part, because I'm a Republican. And I know this stuff is confusing, but they should slow it down until they know exactly what they're voting on. And when they rush things so fast that, like Diane and Barbara and I, and, you're busy doing something one day, they could pass a bill and you wouldn't even know it had been gotten out of a committee. Terry Collins is terrible about what she's saying. We don't have Common Core. I don't know what she thinks we have then. So I hope word gets out more. It took a long while, but people finally understood that this crazy stuff, my child or grandchild or next-door neighbor's child that I'm helping, is bringing home, this is stupid. It's Common Core. They got it. The parents, the everyday people, the grandparents, they got it. They understood that what Johnny and Mary were bringing home was a useless way of teaching. And yet our representatives see dollar signs all over because Biden has appropriated, and of course he didn't do it by himself, but they've appropriated this money for school counseling, and frankly, I wouldn't want my grandson, who's only 7, to be counseled by somebody I don't even know what they think like, and I don't know what kind of security, what kind of privacy they have on the data of my grandchild or your child. Or the next door neighbor's child. There isn't any really sick thing that a child says, not really understanding what he's saying. It's going to go in his record, why do we want children, little children, discussing what could be very private matters without their parents' knowledge? And it's going to go in those interlocking longitudinal databases. And a lot of it is being sold, and they'll be able to track us. I know it sounds weird, like you think, oh, my gosh, does that woman believe in these spaceships coming down or something? No, but this is all true, and they've been working on it a long time. And, if you do any research, you'll run into some of this.
Miss Betty, I think we've learned a lot, but, they keep telling the legislators, this is going to solve our problem. We need more data to find what's the problem with that child. So this new bill, SB 171, we have got to get rid of dyscalculia, you know. And when you research dyscalculia, it's this term that only maybe 5% has it. And I'm thinking, isn't that normal that certain kids are not going to learn how to do math? So now you're going to screen every child. You're going to put them through intervention. Never mind that you gave them confusing Common Core math for the past 10 years. Never mind that you put SEL in there, more confusion. Never mind that you've had a pandemic crisis that's been mishandled by the feds. And now you need mental health intervention. A crisis that you made now needs your help so that you can put kids in a straitjacket and force feed them to this garbage. But I was thinking all this money, $92 million a year, and Ms. Barbara, when the founding fathers got to be some of the best intellectuals the world has ever seen, were they data assessed? Did they have intervention, mental health? What in the world? What a difference we have been Common Core.
We have been Common Core. Yeah, but you know these things have been introduced, you know, over time, and with the government taking more and more control over our lives, and we have less and less freedom, and you know, with the school situation. Oh, by the way, this is Biden's baby. This is his pilot program for mental health counseling in the schools. And he reported on this to the Congress in his State of the Union address. More counselors, psychologists, social workers, other staff who work directly with the students. And he pledged $50 million. Then he said $1 billion for more of the school counselors and so forth. So this is his baby. And, you know, we need to ask our Alabama legislators, are they really going to go along with Biden's baby, you know, with this pilot program? It's a pilot program. And it seems like our legislators are just embracing it, you know, just gobbling it up. And I know there's a lot of money, but we don't need this. This is foreign. This is not necessary. And it's going to be so much more harmful than any possible good that could come out of it. And by the way, I wanted to mention another thing about NASP, National Association of School Psychologists. Diana, they are so far left and radical. They actually endorse the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child that totally undermines parental authority and puts the government in charge of our children. That's how radical they are. They say that on their website.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I think this is the biggest crisis. I know we see the war in Ukraine and we see the physicality, but we hope that people will realize there is a mind going on inside the minds of children and that they had better wake up. That child has been fighting this war for quite a while, year after year, because we've had Common Core now for quite a while. So
yeah. It
breaks my heart because when we started off, I remember watching the Mary Calamia, a licensed clinical social worker from New York, saying my caseload went up 300%. And the first ones to come in were eighth grade students, honor students, cutting themselves. They could not understand this crazy stuff. So we have there's no telling how many children we have lost through depression, through bullying. I mean, they bully each other. I mean, when you're mad, you know, kind of like a dog, when you make a dog mad, he turns on himself, he turns on others. You know, it's like they've lost their mind. We have actually helped children lose their minds, lose their future, lose families' dreams. The cost is, you know, is I cannot even imagine. But it's something that, you know, God, we're going to have to answer to God for. And I just pray for these legislators to have a come-to-Jesus moment. And I think that I'm so glad they put a hold on SB 171 because this was the big, big caboose. I mean, in it, the child is going to be in a straitjacket. They're going to not have a choice. And the community is not going to have a choice but to comply. But you called it what it is, Ms. Barbara and Ms. Betty. You called these SEL bills, HB 123, which they've not moved into the other. HB 123 passed the House. It's not passed the Senate yet, so we can kill that. Senate Bill 40, which is Smitherman's bill, that has passed the Senate because those senators, they just didn't know what was going on. The leadership probably told them that this is going to save the children's mental health, blah, blah, this. Well, that, thank God, has not went into the House for full approval, and SB 171 that was fast-tracked could have been passed Thursday, but thank God we've got more time to pass. It is on the verge of being passed. All they have to do is put on special calendar. So we urge everybody to call their legislators. SB 171 has been fast-tracked. All it needs is to be pulled for a vote. And so it was pulled off last minute because I heard it was up Thursday for a vote. It was pulled off. Thank God for that miracle. And thank God for the parents calling. So we need more parents calling. It's an election year. Elections have consequences. We see that with Ukraine. And this is why we need people like Mr. Alex Balcom. Thank God he's on board. Thank God he's speaking out. And I also saw a press release from Mr. Tim James, who's running for governor. And it was, I tell you what, I see people on Facebook lighting up, sharing it. They are encouraged. He's telling people, do not vote for SB 171, and he's calling it what it is. So I think that is another good thing to help. So, Mr. Alex, if you don't mind, come in and just add in what your hopes are with this election that's coming. Oh, Mr. Alex, did I lose you? Okay, we may make sure I did not lose Mr. Alex here.
No, you got me. No, you got me.
Oh, go ahead, Mr. Alex.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're all on the same sheet of music, and that's what goes back so many years with the team that was created 10, 12, 13 years ago, is we haven't lost our faith. We just haven't grown enough. We keep talking about the hearts and minds of our legislators changing up there. But I think it's going to take more than, just a prayer and a hope. We've got to have the numbers to do that. And I'm sitting here looking at my good friend Lou Campanozzi's email here. It says, as we pointed out in the committee meeting on 9 March, this bill, he's talking about 171, creates $92 million bureaucracy to throw more money towards math program. I mean, what can you get with $92 million that our simple math standards weren't doing for free? They say that we're going to eradicate Common Core. Well, if it was, according to Ivy, eradicated, months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago, why are we still saying we got to eradicate it? So, this is the circle that we live in.
It's a circle of lies, isn't it? I mean, it's that right there, what you just said, it's obviously, and I was wondering, where's the ethics? It's went out the window with these people to say they're going to remove Common Core, but it's right there being cemented. And a governor says she's removed it, but here... She's going to cement it because she's got this mental health initiative, and this is why this bill with Smitherman, that's one of them that's come up, Ledbetter's bill. That's another one where he's going to fund it. So, now, of course, we're hoping that there is a bill. There's Mike Parson has a bill, HB 457, which is to remove the SEL. So that needs to be pushed. We don't have a lot of time, and it's going to take a lot of parents to really call and let that happen because they have almost let things run out, run out of time. That's how hard it is to deal with this. But we're hoping the new legislature that comes in, because I think there's going to be a lot of them changing, are, I think that's one of the reasons some of them are running, a lot of them are running, is to get rid of what's being done to the children in our schools. And Mr. Alex, of course, you're running for state board, and so that's one of them, one of the reasons you want to get rid, truly get rid of Common Core, which is, I think, Miss Betty, as we said before, Common Core State Standard Initiative, you said it's really big. It's worse than what we're seeing. And you said it's really big. And I think I get it now, because Common Core is really, and I've seen it on the NASP website that Miss Barbara has found, it says in there, it is to work in support of Common Core. So really, the multi-tier system of support is in there to push, help push Common Core, and for them to data assess how a community is developing. Is the community starting to think the way they want them to think? Because the data is going to show them. They're testing these kids, and they're, you know, the minds are being changed.
Well,
that's to test how well they're doing.
When we were when we would come on, I don't know if you still do this, when we come on the state school board, you know, you could have something written about you. You could put one of your favorite quotes. Well, I put my favorite quote up there, and this isn't verbatim, but this is pretty much what it was, that Abraham Lincoln said that what is taught in the classroom, now remember, these were probably one-room schools, but what was taught in the classroom in one generation would be what, you know, was reflected in the government of the next generation. So we shouldn't be surprised that some of these students who were in high school, when we started getting the nasty reading assignments, the really crazy stuff, the tree was being reported in a way that was every possible opportunity to make unflattering, negative, sarcastic, snarky comments about America. And, you know, now those former students have graduated, gone to college. Many of the colleges are even more liberal than the K-12. And why are we surprised when so many of them have no idea what marriage is supposed to be? They have not turned to the school, to churches. They're turning the churches upside down in many cases. And we've got to stand up for this and nip it in the bud. And got to remember that some things can be done very quickly if it's the right thing and if it's God's time. And if you will please be sure to put the phone numbers up so they're real easy to see, because it's very difficult if you have not been in politics, looking things up, helping your neighbors or whatever. It's even if you want to call your representatives, it's kind of hard to know, well, where's the number? What do I call? But the main thing is call the switchboard, and they can get you to your person. And I imagine you've already got that up there, Diane. If you haven't, I'm sure you'll put it up there. Just we need to make it easy so that people that maybe this is first attempt to get truly involved in political situations, and we will have more participation. And I don't mind anybody calling me or emailing me if I said something they don't understand, or if it's somebody else that doesn't understand. We'll talk as long as it takes to make it clear. But one thing I want everybody to know is the standards we have now, there's not a dime's worth of difference between them and the Common Core that were so bad. They're still bad. But now we've got all this social-emotional learning that either has already entered the schools or it will be coming to your schools. And a lot of times what your child may tell you at home may not sound that serious, but if you knew exactly what was going on, you would see how serious this is. And one thing I always remember when because part of this is also the LGBTQ stuff. Some of it is even from Southern Poverty Law Center. And once a child hears this, sees the nasty pictures, hears the disturbing things, the school librarian comes dressed as opposite sex or whatever, you can't erase that from your child's heart or mind. Have a chance with our children and our grandchildren and the other children in the neighborhood.
Thank you, Ms. Betty.
We've just got to do it.
We've got to fight for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we will fight, Miss Betty, and our time is up. Our hour is almost up, so I'm going to let Miss Barbara close us. And again, we want to remind people, you know, you've got to do your homework about these bills, HB 123, SB 40, SB 171. I share the numbers, and you can do a search for yourself. You're going to have to do some homework so you can talk to other people and share with them what is going on. It is a crisis, really, for the mind and soul of your children. That's what's at stake. And I think God is opening up the doors here for us to share the truth. He is truth. And it's just, one of the things I'd like to quote, Ms. Barbara, that we've learned from our friend Joan Landis, a mental health expert we used to interview quite a lot, and we'll probably do so in the future. She says that they have studied, latest in neuroscience proves that, you know, the Bible is true. To raise up a child, you need to teach them things that are holy, good, and pure, which Ms. Betty likes to quote. And we have gotten away from that because when you look in the books that they're putting in the school libraries, they're dark. So this is a system that is set to make your child's mind very dark. So when you wonder why your children is out of control, you wonder why discipline is out the door, one of the reasons why is what they are teaching them. You cannot just blame the parents because you say I've heard a lot, parents are not disciplined. Their hands are tied because if they even spank the child and leave the mark, they get in trouble with DHR. So the parent is also under duress, and their child needs help, and they're wringing their hands. They don't know what to do. So we need to all come together. We need to all help because we do not live in an island. And whatever happens in one state affects another state. What happens in Birmingham affects the other parts of the state. We are all in this together. So I pray, Ms. Barbara, that we will, you know, be united in this. So, Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, close this. And we're so grateful for Mr. Alex Balcom joining us.
Yes,
running against Tracy West. And we want people to really study him and listen to what he's saying. Alex Balcom running against Tracy West. And also, of course, Ms. Betty Peters. Most everybody in education should know her. She served 6 years on the state school board. So I'm going to let Ms. Barbara Moore close us.
Okay. Thank you, Diana. Our children trust us to protect them. And this has been a massive assault perpetrated on our children and parents. And it's heartbreaking. It's been an experiment. They're experimenting on our children, taking them to places where they ought not to go. And we just need to work together and come before God and ask for his mercy and his grace to help our children and parents. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you for being with us tonight. Please share this podcast with other parents and other grandparents, as many as you can. Thank you, and God bless you, and may God bless America.
Do we say good night now?